With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On this 11th Sunday after Pentecost, our hymns are 652, 699, 641, 743, 633, and 822. Pastor Alan Mueller's sermon is entitled Spiritual Bread and is taken from John 6, verse 22 through 35. Our service this morning is being sponsored by Janet and Truman Kirshner for celebrating their 40th wedding anniversary. They were joined at here at Emmanuel 40 years ago this very day.
Good morning. It's great to be with all of you again, and special welcome to all the guests and visitors we have with us this morning. We are so thankful that you are here with us to worship our great God together, and we pray that you can join us again in the future. At this time, let us raise our voices together and sing our first hymn, number 652. Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. Let us pray. Merciful Father, you gave your Son Jesus as the heavenly bread of life. Grant us faith to faith to feast on him in your word and sacrament, that we may be nourished unto life everlasting. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's word. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 16. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness. And behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread, after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is the Gospel of the Lord. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. After the feeding of the 5,000, we see the excitement of the crowds. And it seems like Jesus has become an instant celebrity, for droves of people have now started following him around. And the next morning, when the people didn't know where he went, verse 24 says that they went out looking for him. Now, of course, we know what happened. Last week, the gospel reading told us that Jesus just walked across the sea on the water. But for the crowds, they're bewildered. They're asking themselves, how could he be here? How did he get to Capernaum? For there's the same number of boats here this morning as there were there last night. So, Jesus, they ask, when did you come here? Now, what a golden hour of opportunity for Jesus to just wow the people. He already just fed 5,000 people with a few loaves of bread. And now he has this open invitation to explain perhaps even greater miracles. of himself just walking upon water. You know, very easily, Jesus could have fed into this celebrity bandwagon. It was the perfect chance to get himself a cult following and to just take over the culture by storm. All he has to do is feed into their curiosity and entertain them a little bit. And yet it's clear, dear friends, that Jesus isn't looking for fans. He's not looking for bandwagon Christians. He's not looking to be the next cultural craze, trying to convince people that he's cool and hip. No, rather, that's what the church does. Always seeming trying to convince people that Christianity is cool. Trying so hard to entertain rather than teach. Pretending to be something that we're not. Aiming to convert that one celebrity or that one sports player. Always seeming to try to fit in with the world to be the next cultural craze. As if a Christian celebrity would just be the greatest asset the church ever had. Yet somehow we always seem to forget that, again, Jesus isn't looking for fans. He's not looking for man's praise or their curiosity, but rather he is looking for man's salvation. And so Jesus refuses to feed into that curiosity. And instead of addressing their questions, he turns the focus upon themselves. And as he does so, notice what knowledge Jesus has of man's heart. Now, earlier in John's gospel, it said that Jesus, he needs no witnesses to tell them or to tell him what's in man's heart. For John says he knows himself what is inside each person. He who formed the heart can read it like an open book. And so Jesus leaves the subject of how he got there. That doesn't matter. Sure, it's an interesting subject. It would invoke a curiosity, but he knows that at this time, that's not the conversation needing to be had. And instead, then, he dives into their motives for why they're following him. You're not following me because you believe my message. Rather, you're following me because you got a free meal out of it. Dear friends, we see that Christ is not deceived. And as he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we must never forget that he still reads the secret motives of our hearts. All who follow him and all who call themselves a Christian, he knows exactly what their motives are for doing so. He knows why we profess to follow him. He knows why we confess the name Christian. How many multitudes of people call themselves Christian, but are Christian only in name? Choosing rather to reject the very power and authority of the God that they claim to follow. People seem to call themselves Christian when they are anything but, and sometimes being the farthest away from that truth they can be. People often call themselves Christian thinking that it is just one way to heaven. Or they say because it just has a great ethical code that Christianity is somehow nothing more than just loving, accepting, and not judging people. Or they otherwise call themselves Christian because they think it'd be impolite to call themselves, by the more accurate term, practicing atheist. Christian in name, but atheistic in all manner of life and practice. Perhaps calling themselves Christian as to not cause rifts in relationships or divisions within families. Dear friends, if we are Christian only in name, and if we refuse to bow the knee in allegiance to the God we claim to serve, as if we could ever live in active, habitual, willful rebellion with God, how can we have fellowship with this same God? Now, Paul tells us that we are all naked and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. For while man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. And so we must be true and sincere in our confession and in our faith. Our confession must be real or it's of no value. The sinfulness of hypocrisy is one of the most vile we find in Scripture. In fact, it is one of the most warned about in Scripture. In fact, it's the only sin which Jesus pronounces woes upon 7 times. Saying 7 times over, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Now, it's not hard to deceive pastors, to deceive family members and friends. Just a little outward profession of faith often goes a long way, but it is impossible to deceive Christ. His eyes are a flame of fire, he says, and he sees us through. But happy are those who can say with a clear conscience, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." After calling out their ill motives, verse 27 then is such a rich and complex verse. For in this one verse now, Jesus forbids something. He then commands for us to do something. And then lastly, he promises us something. All those things in just one verse that I want to look at with you now this morning. It is just an amazing verse. And so again, the first thing that Jesus does in verse 27 is he forbids something. You know, he says, "Labor not for that food that perishes." Now, to be sure, Jesus isn't encouraging idleness. The Bible is full of warnings against the sluggard. Also, on the other hand, there's dozens of encouragements for Christians to work and to labor hard. In fact, we know that man has been appointed to work ever since the fall and even prior to the fall in Eden. Jesus is not trying to shame the working class. He himself was a carpenter. But what Jesus rebukes and what he is forbidding here is an excessive attention to laboring for the body while the soul gets neglected. We all realize that material things are going to perish eventually. But Jesus assures us that they are perishing now. Presently, the things of this world, they're like cotton candy. You bite into it and there is no substance. You can keep striving for it, but you will always be left hungering. And what Jesus reproves then is that habit of laboring for the things of time. And what a startling caution that is for us today. Surely that warning must ring so loud in our ears as people continue to do that very thing every day which Jesus warned against. Night and day we labor for the food that perishes while doing nothing for the immortal soul. Yet it's wisdom that calls out, saying to give the first and best of your thoughts to your salvation. For such is the one thing needful. And he who seeks first the kingdom of God, Jesus says, all these things will be added unto them. Well, after forbidding this one thing, Jesus then goes on to command a more excellent way. Labor for the food that endures for eternal life. And what I find interesting, though, is that Jesus uses or otherwise implies the word labor there. Don't labor for physical bread, but labor for the spiritual. Again, that's such an interesting word choice. Because labor invokes so many images of effort, as if you must take great pains towards it. Guaranteed, there is spiritual food and there is a rich abundance to be had, but Jesus would have us to seek diligently for them. Just like when the manna fell, the Israelites still had to go outside of the camp and gather it. The manna didn't just fall directly into their mouths, but we're told that they had to go out and labor for it. And at this point, it'd be fair to ask, what is laboring? How are we to do it? What is it supposed to look like? Well, dear friends, we can see how the scriptures talk. See what kinds of metaphors the Bible uses to talk about seeking and laboring for Christ. We know that we are to read our Bibles like men who are digging for hidden treasure. We are to wrestle in prayer like men who are contending with an enemy for their lives. We are to take our whole heart and minds to the heart of God, to the house of God in worship, and to diligently hear his words like if we were listening to the last will and testament of a benefactor. We know that we must fight against sin, the devil, and the world, like ones who are fighting for our very liberty, who must either conquer sin or be conquered as slaves. The testimony of Scripture is that we must, again, labor and to use all of these means in our efforts. We must use all the appointed means which God has given to us. The Lord himself speaks of striving after the kingdom of God. Though that theme is so commonly found in the scriptures, it's so uncommonly found among man. For while striving for God's kingdom, how little encouragement you can expect to receive from people. In striving after holiness, you're more likely to be called extreme than you are to be encouraged. You're more likely to be told that you're going too far than you are to be praised. As strange as it is, the natural man always imagines that we think too much about our religion, while in reality, we are far more likely to be thinking too much about the world. Whatever man may say, though, our souls will never get the spiritual food it craves without laboring. The language of Scripture is always to run, fight, and conquer. That we must throw our whole heart into our soul's affairs. For as Jesus says, it is the violent who take the kingdom. And then lastly, dear friends, notice in verse 27 the promise that Jesus gives, saying that the Son of Man shall give you the food that endures to eternal life. And how blessed are those words. Whatever our souls long for, whatever it craves, hungers, and pants after, there is that substance in Jesus. And in fact, he promises this richness to all who seek for it. For the Son of Man, he stands ready to give grace, to give himself in abundance, to give peace without measure, mercy to the utmost, joy unspeakable. He is willing to give most freely and immediately, desiring to give far more abundantly than all that we could ask or even imagine. In fact, he shall prove himself always more willing to give than we could ever prove ourselves desiring to receive. Notice to whom it was that Jesus gave the promise this morning. In its context, he seems to make one of the greatest gospel promises to the unconverted, most carnal-minded individuals. For even to these who haven't thought 2 seconds about their eternal souls, Jesus promises that if they but seek and ask, the Son of Man will give it to them. And does that not speak to the extreme willingness that Jesus has, desiring to give himself to mankind? He stands at the ready, willing, able, desirous even to pardon and to forgive, to grant eternal salvation to sinners. In fact, dear friends, it is why he has instituted the office of pastors. Ones who are called to stand in his stead and to proclaim the gospel invitation to whosoever has ears to hear. Jesus gives the parable of the servants, commanding them to go into the highways and byways, compelling people to come in, compelling people to use every means possible to get them to respond in their hearts to the gospel call and to enter into the feast, that is, to partake of the riches of God's kingdom. In all this, he offers salvation to any and everyone who but repents and believes. And that is a promise that can't fail. It is built upon a most solid foundation, upon the very blood of God himself in Jesus Christ. For the Almighty God has shed his most precious blood for you. He has taken the punishment of sin for you. And he gives you himself, promising you an inheritance in the heavens, saying, I will be your God. All of his riches, all of his fullness, his infinity shall be yours forever in Christ Jesus our Lord, when we but ask, seek, and knock. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we worship God with our offerings.
Thank you.
Would you please stand? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your loving kindness. We praise your name that you are mighty to save and full of loving kindness. And we glorify you in knowing that you are rich in all that we need, both to live and to live joyfully. As you are full of abundance, we ask that you would lead us to so strive, labor, and seek after your blessings. Lead us to desire your presence and to go often to the means of grace. Give us a heart which longs to meet you in the reading of your word, to meet you in prayer and meditation and in worship. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Mighty God, as the world is full of the bread that perishes, we ask that you would anchor our hearts into you. Anchor us to you who is unchangeable, infinite, and eternal. We ask that you would make our hearts restless, always craving more until they rest in you alone. Cut the ties of our hearts that keep us tethered to this world. Lead our hearts and minds upward, rather, to long after spiritual and good things. And give us the spirit to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of all faithfulness, as your people, we ask that you would give us confidence in your promises. Give us the assurance to trust in you as you deserve to be trusted, knowing that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you will indeed provide for all of our needs of body and soul, and that you will always act fatherly towards us, fulfilling every word you have spoken. We rest ourselves into your care, trusting in your promises that are more sure than the heavens themselves. Just continue to anchor us to this truth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And great physician, you are the caregiver of your entire creation. And we thank you for all of your gifts of body and life. We thank you for the strength, health, and livelihood that you have granted to us here and to your creation. And we ask that you would continue to care for all our needs, both in time and eternity. We ask for rain and seasonable weather. Lord, we ask that you would look after our labors to keep us safe, that our labors would be fruitful. Further, we ask that you would grant healing to those who are suffering. Give peace and rest to those struggling and hurting. Bring strength to the weak, joy to the sorrowful, and the abundance of your nature. Just be everything that we need. And look after those on our hearts and minds this morning, those who are absent from our congregation this morning, and all whom we lift silently before your throne at this time. Lord, we lift these to you, asking for your will to be done, and use all trials for our good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our service continues with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is meet and right so to do. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Amen. give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. You may be seated for departing hymn 822.